This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 19 this morning, so please turn with me there. We've made some progress so far in 1 Samuel, the different readings that we've done over these past 17 years, so I think we've covered a little bit of the Bible as a congregation. 1 Samuel chapter 19, I'm going to pick up with verses 8 to verse 24. So we're going to wrap up this 19th chapter here this morning. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. So we get the picture. Remember, David in last week's reading has been temporarily reconciled with King Saul, it would seem, on the surface, with the help and the aid of Jonathan, Saul's son. So the narrative picks up that because of that reconciliation, David now doing his thing, fighting on behalf of his people and for the king. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messages unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messages to take David, she asks, "He's sick." Saul sent the messages again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I might slay him." And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, and he has escaped?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said unto me, 'Let me go, why should I kill thee?'" That doesn't seem to be too much in line with the facts, does it? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah." And Saul sent messages to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied. And it was told Saul, and he sent other messages, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messages again the third time, and they prophesied. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Shechem. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they be at Nahioth and Ramah." And he went thither to Nahioth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth and Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they said, quote, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Unquote. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Well, we're going to call this Saul prophesies. I would say that for some people, this sounds very strange and very unusual. Matter of fact, some people who may not be a Bible believer may look at this particular portion and say, it sounds like a science fiction movie or maybe some Hollywood B-rated drama. But nonetheless, beloved, this is the Word of God. So what do we find? Look at verse 7. Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in Saul's presence as in times past. So see, last week we left off on what seems to have been an upbeat note. David and Saul, buddy, buddy. David is in his presence. And as we read now 8 and following, what do we find? Well, number first, we find that after this reconciliation, David goes out and goes off to war, and he takes care of the Philistines. What a great slaughter. And they fled from him. So guess what must have happened? Here come the women with their tambourines, with their drums and their bugles, and they're singing the praises of David. Now, it doesn't mention that. Just grant me a little bit of license, because we have seen the women before dancing and playing instruments and recognizing David's great exploits. So it's not out of the question that when David came back, everybody was in good spirits, a little bit of festivity going on, and apparently, knowing Saul's temperament, he couldn't handle that. He just couldn't deal with that. Well, in verses 9, now notice this. An evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. Now I want you to read verse 23. Saul went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him. Wow. One moment God sends an evil spirit, which apparently antagonizes the king, tempts the king. As we shall see, David is in this room playing on the instrument. We found out in past readings that when David played on his string instruments, it calmed the savage beast, which was Saul. God interrupts that little serenade by sending that evil spirit. Now, God's not the author of sin. God just allowed the spirit to go. The spirit tempts Saul. Saul was the one that unfortunately crossed that line. Nobody pushed the king to cross that line. It is Saul's temperament, that envy and that jealousy that apparently was put on Saul's back burner, was immediately put back in the oven, and the temperature was raised to 550. Notice, the beast was simply placated because of Jonathan, verse 7. But the beast is still there. The beast has not been quelled. He's not been tamed, if you will. Well, as David's playing, King Saul gets his spear and throws it at him. And fortunately for Brother David, he ducked and covered at the right time. Excuse me. And he slipped out of that room. So beginning in verses 11 and following, Saul sent messages now to David's house. Now let's read that verse 11. Saul also sent messages unto David's house to watch him. So David's being spied on. All right, they got the drones flying over David's house to slay him in the morning. His wife, Saul's daughter, tells her husband, if you save not your life tonight, meaning if you don't do something, if you don't escape or hide, you're a dead man. So the daughter of Saul, David's wife, let him down through a window, which allowed him to escape. Read verse 17. Saul said unto his daughter, David's wife, why hast thou deceived me so? Now, we've seen movies where kids don't get along with mommy and daddy, and the boyfriend climbs up a tree, opens the window, and tells his girlfriend, hey, let's go out for the night. So what does the daughter do? She makes her bed look like she's sound asleep. You ever see those in the movies or in a cartoon? You got maybe the head of something, and they throw some hair on it, or maybe something that looks like hair, and they get it all puffed up like somebody is laying on their side or on their back, whatever. And it's fake. Well, that's what she does. And messages are sent more than once. Saul says, "Bring him into bed, that I might kill him." Saul then confronts his daughter, why have you deceived me and sent away my enemy? Now he's gone. She comes back and says, "He said unto me, let me go, dear wife, why should I kill thee?" That's not found in verse 11. So what do you draw from that conclusion? Here's one thing you can draw from the conclusion. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree. Look at his daughter. She's a spitting image of her father. She's a liar and a deceiver, according to the text. So David fled, and the only place he could go right now was back to Samuel, who's still alive, though quite old. Then word gets to the king that, hey, by the way, David is in Ramah there with Samuel. And so just like the escapade with David being sick and lying in his bed, King Saul sends groups of messengers to go after David. And as soon as they get into the presence of Samuel, they go into prophesying. Now, they're not talking in tongues. This is not an example of Old Testament glossolalia with them talking in tongues. Some may want to draw that conclusion, but it says they were prophesying, meaning they were uttering God's word, whatever it was. We don't know what they're saying on several occasions. So the king gets so exasperated, he goes on his own mission to Ramah. And as soon as he hits the area, verse 23, the evil spirit is gone, but the spirit of God falls upon Saul. And what happens in all of these cases with the messengers and Saul being purposely stymied and hindered by going off into some ecstatic pronunciation of God's word? What happens? The spirit of God waylays the king and his messengers. They are basically inoperative in doing any harm to David. God takes complete control over the messengers and the king and basically makes them incapacitated of doing any damage or danger to his servant David. Now, beloved, that's the God that we serve. He can either make you escape, he either can make you be hid in such a way your enemies can't even find you. Or in this case, God waylays the messengers of Saul and the king in such a way that the king is laid stripped, bare, and naked. And now the proverb is now sounding out, is Saul also among the prophets? This shows you the power of God, that God can use any means at any time to stifle your enemies. He can waylay them to the ground, naked, prostrate, and quoting scripture if he wants to. And so David, in this case, his life is spared. Saul, quieted, naked, on the ground, prophesying. And it said that he lay down naked all the day and all the night. He must have had one bad case of laryngitis that next day, nonstop prophesying. No food apparently and no drink, just kept on going. God put a period in this situation to Saul's madness and his desire to shed blood. Well, once again, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.